Good morning. Glad you've decided to worship with us this morning. We're glad to have you worshiping with us today. I got to tell you today, I'd rather be no other place than here. And I want to take this time to thank you for all your prayers, your monies, your gift cards, your time, your encouraging words, and cards. 3 weeks ago, I said, cards is a great ministry. I had no idea that it would relate to our family so well. So if you want to do something for our family, especially Ching, send her a card. It means a lot to her. It's been a tough week, just to be honest with you. Monday, we went to meet with a doctor, and he basically gave us a grim report. And it's been kind of grim most of the week, except for the fact that we ran into a cancer group website. You can write it down, check it out. It's called Stomach Cancer Warriors. And through that, Ching has been encouraged, because people that's had the same type of cancer that she's had, they beat it. So in the same stage. And if you want to know what kind of cancer she has, write this down. It's called gastric adenocarcinoma. And that's what they've classified her as. And she's going to most likely do chemo in Mount Carmel, because they can classify what chemo she needs. And she'll take that chemo. It can be at Mount Carmel, Indianapolis, wherever it's at, because it's the same type of system. So we covet your prayers through that. But I want you to know that Ching has a positive attitude. And sometimes she has a more positive attitude than the rest of her family. Well, she has taught us have a positive attitude. So that's what we're going to do. This past Tuesday, we had an anointing service for her, and the elders got together, and some of you gathered as well. We had an anointing service for her over in the gymnasium. We were just being faithful to the book of James. It talks about if any of you sick, call the elders to anoint them with the oil and pray over them. So we did that. And there were some tears, but also there was some give it to God moments. And I just want you to know today that we're giving it to God. And here's the deal. If you'll do it with me, we have decided to fight. So will you fight with us? Appreciate it. You might be thinking, what's Carson going to preach this Sunday with everything on his mind? And I will be honest with you, it took less than 5 minutes to know what I'm preaching. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 14. I want to talk to you about peace. Peace. Friends, today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And with everything that's happening to you or to us this week, I would rather do nothing more than stand up here and preach the Word of God to you. Someone pulled me over a while ago and they said, hey, if you don't feel like preaching, you know, got somebody that could fill in. And I thanked him for that. And I thank you for that opportunity. But I want you to know, I'd rather be up here preaching God's Word than anything else in all the world. So we're going to talk about peace today. So if you have your Bibles or smartphones, look at John 14, verse 27. Here's the setting. Jesus is in the upper room and he's about to go to the cross. And he's encouraging his disciples. And he's basically saying, hang in there. Don't be afraid. Don't be disheartened. Be encouraged. And he says to them in verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Those are some of the most encouraging words written in the entire Bible, in the history of mankind. And they speak not only to the disciples, only 11. Judas has already gone on to do his thing. It's spoken to the 11 apostles, and they are encouraged because of what Jesus says to them. Over 2,000 years ago today, I want you to know something. We can still be encouraged today. Now, the word peace in the Hebrew language, write it down, is the word shalom. Everybody say shalom. And it simply means peace. And I want you to do me a couple favors today. First of all, I want you to lean over the person sitting close to you, and I want you to say shalom, brother, or shalom, sister. All right, that's kind of weak. The second thing I want you to do to keep you from falling asleep is every time I mention the word peace, I want you to do that. So peace, brother. Peace, sister. All right. Now if you forget, I'm going to wake you up. I don't know if you remember back to the 60s and 70s, but there was a big peace movement going on. There were some other things going on. Thank you, Bill. There were some other things going on too in the 60s and 70s. Woodstock and all this stuff wasn't so great. But I remember just barely, I'm old enough just barely to remember this peace thing. And people's going around giving peace to everybody, and they had peace on their bumper stickers. Remember that? And every time you'd run into somebody at school, at work, or wherever it was, hey, peace, brother, how you doing? And it was a good feeling, because the Vietnam War was going on between 1955 and 1975. We needed some peace, didn't we? Peace. And they thought they were offering peace. But I want you to know something. That's worldly peace. We have something in the scripture in John chapter 14 and verse 27 that can only come truly from one person. Who is it? Jesus Christ. And you can have all these things in life, and you can think that can bring you peace, and you can have all these friends and all these things that you have. And I have a lot of things, and so do you. But that is never going to bring you peace. Thank you, Jerry. Only through Jesus Christ can we have peace. Pull out your bulletin, your sermon notes, and follow along if you will, because I want to mention three simple things that I want you to remember when it comes to true peace this morning. First and foremost, true peace can come only from Christ. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." There's nine of them. Now I want you to notice a couple things about this passage. First of all, the word fruit is in singular form. Look in your Bibles. Singular form. So, what is Paul trying to say when he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and gentleness"? What's he trying to say? Here's the word: inclusive. You can have love, but if you don't have joy, you are failing the verse. You can have peace, but if you don't have patience, you are failing this verse. You can have kindness, but if you don't have goodness, you're failing the verse. And you can be faithful to the church and faithful to people, but if you're not faithful to the Lord, even though you're gentle and maybe even self-controlled, you're still failing in this verse. And what he's trying to say here is this, and I love to use this term, write it down, corporakophia. And we use that term only around Thanksgiving, but you know, what do you do in a cornucopia? What do you do? You put all kinds of different vegetables or fruits, however you want to decorate your corporakopia. And here's the thing. It's all inclusive. You can't have one without the other. And it's true when it comes to the gift of the Holy Spirit. The fruit that we have. We got to have them all. And I want you to know, I got to thinking, when I look down through this verse, am I good at love? Sometimes I'm good and sometimes I'm not. And then I got that. Well, maybe I'm better at joy. Not always. Well, I just did a sermon series on joy. I'm supposed to be more joyful. Not always. Well, I'm pretty good at peace. Well, patience? No. Kindness, goodness, faith. You know what? I struggled all of them. Every single one of them. In that upper room, Jesus was comforting his disciples with peace, but he was also getting ready to tell them, "I'm going to send someone to be there for you when I'm not, the Holy Spirit." Friends, one of the things he mentions is peace. And if there's one thing our world and our churches and our family and our individuals need, it's peace. You're not doing your assignment. It's peace. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." In this world you'll have what? Trouble, not peace. And then he goes on to say, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." And I would love for Jesus to continue in saying this, "And so will you." Have you ever been in trouble? Have you ever had money trouble, relationship trouble, family trouble, health trouble? Raise your hand. You ever had any of these troubles? I don't mean to put a curse on you, but I want you to know this. If you have not had any of these troubles, you will. If you live long enough, it's just a matter of time that you're going to have trouble. And if you haven't had trouble thus far, you are one lucky son of a gun. Can I say that? But you know what we need? We need the peace that surpasses all understanding in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Because if you try to go it alone, if you try to find your peace somewhere, you can read a book and you can talk to friends and you can be here and you can be there. But if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you don't know what peace is. Friends and family, whatever you're going through right now, hold on. I might say that the rest of 2022 because that's a good word, isn't it? Hold on. Paul says in Romans 8:28, and we know that in how many things? All things. God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And it may not seem too good right now, but just hold on. Can I say that again? Just hold on. Fight. Because Christ is the only one that can give you the peace that you need when you are going through trials and the tribulations of life. Will you rest in His peace this morning? Will you trust Him? Will you pray for us as we trust in Him? Number two, secondly, true peace only comes through faith. Paul says in Romans 5:1-2, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace which God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Now that word justified, write it down on your bulletin somewhere, justified means just as if it didn't happen. Now, I don't know what sin that you've committed or been guilty of, but I want you to know, when you become a Christian, when you turn it all over to Him, when you confess your sins before Him, and when you are buried in the watery graves of Christian baptism, whatever you've done in your past, you have been justified, just as if it didn't happen. In 1 John 1:9, says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from not some unrighteousness, but all unrighteousness. And because of that, we can have peace. Can I tell you something? One of the things that I believe we've been struggling with the most is the devil. He's trying to tell us that you're not good enough. He's trying to tell you that God's not strong enough. He's not big enough, that God can't do this. He's trying to tell you to quit, to throw in the towel, become discouraged. He can't heal you. He can't do this. He's not strong enough to do that. Can we all say baloney together? Because I believe the devil can hear us this morning. He is full of baloney. Because my God can do whatever my God wants to do. My God has the power to do whatever He intends to do, and He'll do it. And the devil has no say-so in it. So can we just kick him out today? Hebrews 11:1 is a great verse. The Hebrew writer says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. We, this last couple days, we have waited for a phone call from the doctor. I hope he's not listening here today. Because I want to say, doc, your phone call didn't come soon enough. We waited and waited. How many of you like to wait? Man, it's bad enough getting bad news, but to wait to get the bad news and wait and wait and wait. Finally, we got the news and now we can work with it. And I assure you, he gets paid quite good money. And even though it may seem grim right now, and it may not seem that God is listening, I want you to know He is listening. If we learn to trust in Him, if we learn to have faith in Him, if we learn to hold on, I want you to know there are better days ahead. Trust in the Lord with all of your might. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make your paths straight. You're going to like my third and final point. Sherry, when she was putting the notes on the computer, I heard her laugh. I know why she was laughing. She got to point number 3 and she laughed. Don't laugh at my notes. And it says, on my third point, true peace will keep you from going crazy. Too late. Philippians 4, 7 through 9 says, part of it, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, we sure needed that verse last week or this week. Because the opposite of peace is something that we were dealing with, and it is the word anxiety. And we've had plenty of anxiety, and so have you had plenty of anxiety this week. And I want you to know, the devil has wreaked havoc a little bit in our minds and even in our hearts. As a matter of fact, I don't know about you, but my stomach is actually churned. Anyone else? It is churned. You know what I'm talking about. And through it all, let's just be honest with each other. Sometimes it's hard to stay positive. Sometimes it's hard to not express our emotions when we're feeling down and negative. We cloud our minds with negative stuff, and sometimes I'm guilty of that. We have negative feelings and negative emotions, and if we're not careful, we can go crazy. If we keep focusing on negative stuff. Paul goes on to say in Philippians 4, 9, refocus your minds on whatever is true and noble and right and pure and lovely, admirable and praiseworthy. He tells us to think about such things and stop thinking about negative stuff. So this morning, here's your assignment. Write it down. For me, my family, and for you, stay positive, stay positive, stay positive. Repeat it with me. Stay positive, stay positive, stay positive. And let your words be seasoned with encouragement. Colossians 3:15 through 17 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body we were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And when you don't feel like giving thanks, give thanks anyway. And when you don't feel like admonishing others, admonish others anyway. And you don't feel like singing songs, and I've had those days, anyone else? You don't feel like singing, you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like reading your Bibles. Sing anyway, pray anyway, read your Bible anyway. And always do it with gratitude. Giving thanks not to yourself or anyone else. Giving thanks to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And no matter what you're going through, we need to remember that Jesus also went through some things. He knows a little bit about what it means to suffer and to hurt and to have heartache and to feel alone. Several times through the Gospels, Jesus was alone. And you could tell it by His words. Friends, stay positive. Stay positive. And let the peace of Christ rule inside of your hearts. I want to close with these words before we pray. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows while like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Let's pray. Father God, help us to know that it is well with our soul. And Lord, whatever trials and tribulations and heartaches and diagnosis we go through, Lord, help us to know that we can have peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Lord, when there's other things that cloud our minds, when people try to be negative and diagnose this and diagnose that, try to help them to realize that they just need to be positive. Because our Lord and Savior was positive. He gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't have that peace, or if you just need prayed over because you got something going on, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.